This morning I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 14. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 14. And if you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's on page 1401. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 14. And once we get there, follow along as I read. 1 John chapter 4 and beginning with verse 7. And here the Apostle John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." We just read 8 verses here in 1 John chapter 4. And in these 8 verses, no fewer than 3 times does the Apostle John speak about God sending his Son into this world. Notice there again in verse 9, John declared this, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." The next verse, verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then skip down to verse 14. And what do we read in verse 14? "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Here the Apostle John affirms some important truth. And what John affirms, it's not just his own ideas. He is speaking the Word of God. He's writing the Word of God. These words are God-breathed. The source of these statements, they're not in John himself. They're not from a human source. Rather, these words, these truths, are coming from God himself. This is divine truth. And as we think about God sending his Son, this is a supernatural action. This is an action that disrupted the course of human history. Whenever God sent his Son to this earth, the glory of his love and the glory of his holiness, the glory of his grace and mercy shone brightly upon this dark world. Whenever God sent his Son to this earth, God sent hope. He provided a way for sinners like you and I. He provided a way for us to escape the wrath of God. Whenever God sent his Son, he sent the Savior who would rescue condemned men and women. God sent his Son. As we think about all of the moments of history, we could arguably say that this act of God in sending his Son is the defining moment of all human history. It's the turning point of humanity's story. Indeed, we could say it's the turning point of creation's story. Think about all that was brought about, all that will be brought about because of the single action of God the Father in sending his Son to this earth. The effects of this one action are beyond human comprehension. God sent his Son. And this morning we're going to direct our attention upon 3 statements by John where he says God sent his Son. In verse 9, we'll focus on the truth that God sent his Son to give life. In verse 10, we'll focus on the truth that God sent his Son to provide propitiation. In verse 14, we'll focus on the truth that God sent his Son to be the Savior. Look there at verse 9. "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Now, really, I could preach an entire sermon on just this one verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, because in this one verse, we're confronted with the amazing reality of God's love, the extreme nature of God's sacrifice, and God's incredible provision of life. And all of these are related to the one act of God sending His Son into this world. Whenever God sent His Son into this world, God's amazing love was manifested. It was revealed. It was made clear to the world. As we think about who God loves the world. But what has the world done in relation to God? The world has turned its back on God. The world has rejected God's authority. It has rejected God's leadership and His care and His protection. And the world, instead of joyfully submitting to God and His will, the world has surrendered itself to another Lord and another Master, and that Lord's name is none other than the devil himself. The world serves the devil instead of serving the true and the living God. So the world long ago turned its back on God. But God has not turned His back on the world. God instead reached out to the world. He reached out in love to the world. Yes, the world hated God, and the world still hates God, but God loves the world. And God's love for the world was openly manifested whenever He sent His Son into this world. God could have selfishly kept His Son to Himself, but no, He did not do that. He sent His Son into the world. He sent His Son into the world to be abused and oppressed and ultimately murdered by sinful men. And God did all of this, sending His Son to provide a way, the only way, for the world to escape the lordship of the devil. He sent His Son in order that people like you and I might be made right with Him, with God Himself. When God sent His Son, He openly showed His love for the world. What amazing love. God looked out for the good of the world. He took action to solve the world's greatest need. God showed His love when He sent His Son. Now when God sent His Son, not only did He openly show His love for the world, but He also sacrificed in the most extreme possible way. See, God didn't just send one of many sons into the world. He didn't even send one of two or three sons into the world. God sent His only begotten Son into this world. His perfectly unique Son. His one and only Son. God sent His beloved Son. The Son who was with Him in the very beginning, whenever God spoke the word, "Let there be light," and there was light. We have the triune Godhead there, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Son who had enjoyed perfect fellowship with the Father for all of eternity, this is the Son whom the Father sent. This is the Son that the Father sent to a wicked and a hateful world. This is the Son that the Father would make sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When God sent His Son into the world, God sacrificed so much. Whenever God sent His Son into the world, He sent His Son to give a world of spiritually dead people. He sent His Son to give them eternal life. God sent His Son so that we might live through Him. There in the very beginning, it was Jesus who created all things. Jesus is the one who spoke the word and it came to pass. He is the one that created all of the life of this entire universe. Jesus is the author of physical life, but more importantly, Jesus is the author of spiritual life. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 4, we read these words about the Word, the one who is God, the one who is the Son of God, and we read this, "In Him was life, and the life was made the light of men." This Word is none other than the Son of God. And this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnate Word of God, the God-man Jesus Christ, spoke these words in John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We read in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the source of life for all of fallen humanity. Yes, we were born in sin. We were spiritually dead, even whenever we were conceived in our mother's womb. But God sent his Son, Jesus, to give us life, abundant life. Jesus testified in John chapter 10. We read this in verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Life eternal. That's why God sent his Son. And Jesus talked about life eternal in John 17 and verse 3. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then one more passage, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the life, hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Aren't you so thankful today that God sent his Son to this earth? And in sending his Son to this earth, he sent life for us to enjoy abundantly. But that life is only in his Son. This morning, can you say honestly, I have life in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ? Can you say, I'm not only alive physically, my physical heart is beating, my physical lungs are breathing air, and can you say that you're not only alive physically, but you have spiritual life as well? Do you have the abundant life that Jesus came to provide? God sent his Son to give life, true life, spiritual life. But yet there are so many people in this world that have rejected that gift of life. It's so tragic because Jesus paid the highest possible price to provide life for everyone. And John very clearly says in our next verse of our passage, God not only sent his Son to give us life, but also God sent his Son to provide propitiation. Look there at verse 10 of 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So we think about humanity in general. It's a natural human tendency for people to think more highly of themselves than they are in reality. So it's natural for us, it's natural for everyone to think that we're good people. But in reality, in and of ourselves, are we good at all? We're not good, are we? We may think, well, we're generous and we're kind and we're loving. And yes, there may be some of those characteristics displayed in our lives, but we're not nearly as generous or as loving as we think that we might be. And as we think about those who don't know Jesus Christ, the lost individual, apart from Jesus, that individual has nothing to boast about when it comes to matters such as goodness or love or kindness or compassion. And truly, as believers in Christ, we can't take any credit for ourselves. All the glory goes to God. We're only good in that God has given us his goodness to display. We only love because God has loved us and given us his love. We have nothing to boast about. So how many of us here today can say, well, I am the one who first loved God, and that's why God has loved me? None of us can say that, right? None of us were proactive in our love for God. All of us have been recipients of God's love. And God loved us when we were far from lovable. God's the one who took the initiative. He took action for our good. See, God loved us, and God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation maybe is a little bit intimidating. We don't use this word in our everyday vocabulary. But propitiation simply means the removal of God's wrath and the bestowal of God's mercy. Sometimes propitiation is described as a wrath-removing sacrifice. See, God hates sin. He has to hate sin because of who He is. God is perfectly holy and He is perfectly just. And sin, any type of disobedience, any type of violation of His character, sin violates the glory of who He is. And God can never look with approval on sin. Sin has to be judged. And those who choose a life of sin for themselves must be judged. Those who are sinners are the objects of God's wrath. They have rejected God. They've rejected His holiness and His love. The Apostle Paul declares this in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God is holy, and in His holiness, He must display wrath against sin. It can be no other way. Sin must be judged. A price must be paid. But as we read in 1 John chapter 4, God sent His Son. Yes, He sent His Son to provide life, but God sent His Son also to provide propitiation. God sent His Son so that Jesus might be a substitute. Jesus is the substitute that bore the full wrath of God on sin. Jesus came to this world to bear our sins in His body on the tree. See, Jesus, He never sinned. He never earned God's wrath by anything that He had done or said or thought. But Jesus, when He died upon the cross, He bore God's wrath for all of sinful humanity. God's wrath was poured out upon Him. We read this in Romans chapter 3 in verses 23 through 26. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God hates sin, and He has to judge sin. But also, we realize, God loves sinners. But God cannot just overlook sin. He can't overlook the bad things that sinners have done. So what has God done? He's provided a way to forgive sinners, to wipe clean all of their bad things that they have done, all the things that they have thought and all of their bad motives, all of the sins that people have committed. God sent His Son to take care of that problem. See, how can God forgive the sins of a wicked world? How can He give them life instead of wrath? And the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who became sin for us. He is the one that bore God's wrath. He paid the price for our sin so that we could enjoy the blessings of forgiveness and eternal life. God sent His Son so that we might have life. God sent His Son so that we might have propitiation, so that God's wrath would be removed from us. And it's not just us who have accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for the sins of everybody. And whenever anyone trusts in Jesus, then God forgives their sins because God's wrath was poured out on Jesus, and it was the wrath of God for the sins of all the world. Jesus Christ came to this world. God sent Him so that we might have life, so that we might have propitiation. But I ask you this morning, is God's wrath still abiding on you? Or can you say today, God's love and God's mercy and His kindness is upon me. I'm no longer a child of wrath. Why? Because I have accepted Jesus Christ. The only way to have God's wrath removed from us is by accepting God's substitute, the substitute wrath bearer, and that is Jesus Christ. Have you accepted him? God sent his son to give life. God sent his son so that he might bear God's wrath. But God also sent his son to be our Savior. Look there at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What is a Savior? A Savior is a deliverer. This United States of America has had many deliverers, many people who are heroes because of the things that they have done for the nation. Israel as a nation also had saviors or deliverers. We have men like Jephthah and Gideon and Samson. God used these men to deliver the nation of Israel from their bondage. But Israel's greatest savior is not a man. Israel's greatest savior is God himself. And this God who took action to deliver Israel from oppressive nations, God is the one who took action to deliver them from sickness or from plagues. God is the one who made the way for them to have life, both physical and spiritual life. Now, in the days of the Old Testament, the days before Jesus Christ, God made provision so that people's sins might be covered over. There were animal sacrifices that were offered. And through the shedding of the animal blood, there was the temporary cleansing or forgiveness of sins. But the only way that sin can permanently be taken care of is through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Not too long ago, we celebrated Christmas. And we're very familiar with the words that were proclaimed, even at the birth of Jesus. The shepherds heard this good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And yes, a Savior was born in Bethlehem. Jesus is the one that was born to save the world from their sins. He is the one who would forever deliver them from all the consequences of their sins. We treasure John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his Son. God sent the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And he didn't come just to save his own people. He came to save the entire world, regardless of their nationality. God sent his son Jesus. Jesus came to save his Jewish people. But Jesus also came to save the Samaritans and the Greeks and the Russians. And we could go on and on. Jesus came to save everybody. Jesus was sent to be the Savior of the world. And in John chapter 4 and verse 42, we read this testimony of the Samaritans, those who were despised by the Jewish people. And the Samaritans say, we now believe, not because of what you have told us, referring to the Samaritan woman, but we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And the Samaritans were right. Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's a glorious truth. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Are you trusting in Jesus as the only way to be delivered from your sins? The only way to be made right with God? Jesus is the Savior. I'm thankful this morning that God sent his Son. I hope that you're thankful this morning that God sent his Son. Why did God send his Son? Well, we find three reasons here in the epistle of 1 John. God sent his Son to give life, abundant life. God sent his Son to provide propitiation so that God's wrath would be satisfied. God sent his Son as the Savior of the world. We rejoice that God sent Jesus. Today we think about the enormity of the price that was paid by Jesus upon that cross. We stand amazed at the sacrifice. Jesus himself, he endured so much. He is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He sacrificed so much. God the Father sacrificed so much. Today we stand in awe of the life that is found in Jesus alone. And today we proudly declare, Jesus is life. Jesus is the Savior. Hopefully today each one of us can say, Jesus is my Savior. In just a little while, we're going to be partaking of communion. And communion is all about proclaiming Jesus as Savior. Jesus willingly died upon the cross. Jesus' body was given for us. Jesus' blood was shed for us. Jesus died so that we might have life. Jesus died so that God the Father's wrath might be satisfied. Jesus died. He is our Savior. But Jesus didn't stay in the grave, did he? He was buried, and then he rose again the third day. We have a living Savior. We rejoice in him today. God sent his Son.